This festival and concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop before attending your concert. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. I wear mine every time I go out, especially to a concert. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink, and shop new styles. If you can't make it to a store, just visit Tecovas.com. That's Tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
You ever get that feeling, the walls closing in, the concrete jungle suffocating you? You crave some wide open spaces, the chance to connect with nature, maybe in a spot all your own. Well, head over to land.com. They've got ranches, forests, mountains, streams, you name it. Search by acreage. You can search by location. You can search by the kind of hunting and fishing you're dreaming of. Land.com. It is where the adventure begins. There's nothing like snook hook sets at dawn or catching a tarpon in the moonlight. Find your next fishing trip made easy on fishingbooker.com and experience the magic of the Sunshine State or any other destination on your fishing bucket list. Book a blue water adventure in search of sailfish or go snapper fishing with the kids. With over 6,000 captains and trips to choose from, planning your next one just got a whole lot easier. Download the Fishing Booker app on the Google Play or App Store or visit them online at fishingbooker.com to book your trip today.
Welcome to This Country Life. I'm your host, Brent Reeves. From coon hunting to trot lining and just general country living, I want you to stay a while as I share my stories and country skills that'll help you beat the system. This Country Life is proudly presented as part of Meat Eaters Podcast Network, bringing you the best outdoor podcasts the airways have to offer. All right, friends, pull you up a chair or drop that tailgate. I think I got a thing or two to teach you. Dogs, hogs, and submarines. Those of us who value the companionship and love of a good dog are many. Now, you spend enough time with them and they'll fill your head and your heart with some great memories. I talk to folks all the time about my dogs and I listen to stories about theirs. And you can tell which ones that have really made an impact on them by the way they look when they talk about them. We're going to talk about a couple today that will forever be at the top of my list is favorites. But first, I'm going to tell you a story. Zach was a giant black Labrador. He belonged to my brother Tim and was about as big as a lab gets. He was a monster. And the good Lord chiseled him out of patience and brains. He was smart. Tim had trained him on the basics of obedience and retrieving, but that dude possessed an abundance of inherent natural ability of what made good labs great labs. You've heard me say before that just about any kind of utilitarian dog, that their desire to go and do what they're bred to do is an untrainable trait. Just because a dog is a Labrador doesn't make him a good retriever. Just like having a coon hound doesn't make them a coon dog. There's a big difference. A coon hound is a breed category within a group of hunting dog breeds. A coon dog is a title given by hunters to a specimen from one of those breeds that consistently strikes a track, follows it to a tree, and barks so you can find him and the coon. You can see beautiful specimens of each breed of sporting dog every Thanksgiving when they have that Westminster Dog Show on TV. We hardly ever miss it. They have some beautiful beagles and retrievers and coonhounds and bird dogs. They are the epitome of what all those breeds are supposed to look like. Height, weight, ear length, gait, stance, color, and build are all judged according to a set of list of requirements. Some of them may even be good hunting dogs. They obviously possess the outward traits of the breed. Unfortunately, that's not how it works in the real world. They not only have to look the part, they have to be able to perform it. The show dogs are what one of my old football coaches would say when describing an athletically built player with zero ability as looking like Tarzan, but playing like Jane. Well, Zack not only looked like Tarzan, but he played like Tarzan, and King Buck had a baby. If you don't know who King Buck was, look that dog up. Anyway, Zack not only looked the part, but he played the part as well. Add in the mixture that he was a perfect family dog, and you get Zack. Zack was in his prime in the mid-80s, and he was a constant companion of any of the Reeves boys' activities as long as Tim was there. Whether it was me and Tim or Tim and his two boys, Matthew and Will, Zack was a fixture on every outing and adventure. I recall a time in the summer that truly demonstrated Zack's patience with children. This is what made him such a great family dog. We were shooting clay targets in front of Tim's house. It was in the middle of the summer, and duck season was still a couple of months away. Matthew and Will were watching and helping load the skeet thrower, playing in the dirt and just doing what boys do. Will, the younger of Tim's sons, was around 5 years old and was standing safely behind everyone as we took turns shooting. Now, Will didn't miss a lot. He paid attention to everything, but he didn't make a lot of racket and could easily entertain himself, but I remember him catching my eye as I waited for my turn to shoot, and he was staring at Zack, who was standing in front of him at Tim's side on the firing line. Zack, as I failed to mention, was a male dog. His name was a context clue, but for the sake of this side story that I'm on right now, that fact needs to be understood completely. Also, it was extremely warm, and in keeping with how nature has provided that dogs of Zack's persuasion keep some of their parts cool by allowing them to distance themselves somewhat from their normal anatomical position. Zack was a big dog, remember. Zack had a noticeable amount of his anatomy that needed cooling, and that was what caught Will's attention. I watched Will as he watched the south end of Zack. He was seemingly hypnotized, like he was watching the pendulum of a grandfather clock swinging back and forth, back and forth. I could see the wheels turning in his head and the confused look on his face as he wondered what he was looking at. He slowly walked forward, and before I could stop him, he reached out with his right hand, and he took a hold of Zack's swinging, and he squeezed. Zack never made a sound. His hind end lowered a couple inches and he froze. A normally expressionless dog, Zack slowly turned his head back to see what had captured him, and I could see the horror of the situation encapsulated on Zack's face. His eyes bugged nearly out of his head, yet showing no signs of aggression or panic. Now, I was scared to move for fear of startling Zack into biting Will, and as quickly as it had started, Will slowly released his grip on Zack's person. Will walked away, curiosity satisfied, and resumed playing in the dirt. He never said a word. Zack turned back around and slowly sat down at the hill on Tim's left side. Zack was a champ at family life, and he loves those boys just as much as we all loved him. That's why he got to go everywhere that we went, and was usually only an arm's length away when we were doing something, which leads me back to the story I started telling way back at the beginning of this. Sometime around that time frame, after dark, and maybe even the following winter, Tim and I were skinning a wild hog we'd killed down in the bottoms. It was a pretty good bar hog that we'd caught and cut sometime earlier. I'm going to talk in depth about wild hogs in the future, but for right now, all you need to know is that a bar hog is a boy hog minus a couple items that make him a boy hog that had been removed by us the previous winter after our squirrel dogs had baited him up down in the bottoms. So we had this hog hanging in a pecan tree in Tim's backyard, and we were removing his hide in strips. It's an easy way to skin the hog if you're not intending on cooking him whole, which we weren't. I remember he was a fat rascal, and some of that fat was nearly as thick as your fist between the meat and the inside of his hide. The hair on that hog was coarse, thick, and jet black, the same color as Zack, who sat beside us watching the whole operation. He was licking his chops and Tim cut off a piece of fat and chunked it toward Zach, and he caught it in midair. And every time we cut off a little chunk, we'd lob it over to him, and he caught it, every one of them. The bigger, longer, thicker strips of hide and fat we piled up on the other side of the tree, away from where Zach was sitting. He never whimpered, whined, or made a sound. The only thing you heard was the occasional chomp when we blindly tossed a chunk of hog fat in his direction. We were skinning that hog in the dark except for the truck lights, and Zach was as black as a shadow anyway. Now, we got that hog skin quartered and on ice, and we loaded all the guts and the skin in the back of the truck, and we hauled it off for the coyotes and the buzzards to take care of the next day. I just lived down the road from Tim then, and we were meeting early the next morning to go duck hunting on the Saline River. Tim picked me up, and with Zach sitting in the middle between us and his old truck, we headed out. We didn't have a far drive, and we were just tooling along when the most malodorous stench I've ever had the displeasure of smelling punched me in the nose. "Sweet Jesus, Tim, what did you do?" He said, "I didn't do that. What is wrong with you?" It was horrible. It was worse than anything I'd ever experienced. I'd been in Army basic training in the gas chamber when they make you take off your mask to feel the effects of the gas and so you'll trust that your mask works. That was nothing, absolutely nothing compared to this. We rolled the windows down, let that cold, frigid air rush in and allow both of us to see through the tears of agony. I still thought it was him, and he still thought it was me. With 10 minutes left in our ride, whammo! There it was again. Oh, the silent killer, and this time it was even worse. I thought I was going to die before I could get the window rolled down. Tim was driving all over the road, trying to roll his window down, cover his nose and mouth, and cuss at me while trying not to breathe. Now, this hunt had started off terribly. We weren't even out of the truck yet. I felt like if I hadn't been so weak from the fumes, that I'd have just bailed out going down the highway and just took my chances with the laws of physics instead of counting on holding my breath to save my life. Both windows were down and there was no relief. Whatever it was being manufactured in the cab of that truck and it was going to kill us all if we didn't get it stopped. By now, I thought if it is Tim, he was a lost cause and there's no saving him. I had yet to have children. I still had something to live for. Oh, the humanity. My eyes were burning. I can't breathe. Mercifully, I felt the truck slow down and make the sharp turn into the parking spot. We both had the doors open on his old truck before the wheels stopped rolling. Dadgum, it was cold outside, but man, that air was fresh and clean. I looked through the cab and saw Tim standing in the door just as I was on the other side of the truck in the dim glow of the interior light. And then I saw Zach. I'd forgotten about Zach. He'd been like the invisible man. During the turmoil of the darkness, I had totally forgot he was with us. But there he sat, motionless in the middle of the bench seat, looking through the windshield like he was the only one there before burping loudly and throwing up a congealed glob of hog fat and hair that nearly made me faint. It was Zach pulling the old sneaky Pete's on us. Apparently, he used his black coat as a cloaking device and was slipping to the other side of the tree during the hog skinning last night and filling his belly up with a pork fat weapon of mass destruction. Poor fella had to have been suffering with all that on his stomach. I know we were. Tim cleaned the floorboard up as best he could, and we went hunting. A buddy of ours came out a little later and hunted with us in our little makeshift blind. And I told him when he got there, "You better watch that dog." And he said, "Why? Will he bite? Or is he going to try to get my cheese and crackers?" Tim said, "Oh, he won't bite you. And he probably ain't real interested in eating nothing right now." We put him downwind of the dog. And it didn't take long before Zach started passing gas again. But this time, with Tim and I both upwind, it was funny. Oh, man, the look on his face. I'm sorry, Gerald. But that's just how that happened. This festival and concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop before attending your next concert. Tecovas has seasonal and limited additional offerings this spring, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Plus, their direct-to-consumer pricing keeps value on your feet and money in your pocket. I never go to a concert without mine, and it was all they could do to keep me off the stage. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and friendly staff are at your service. Many stores have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it to a store, just visit Tecovas.com. That's Tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
You ever get that feeling you're stuck inside staring at screens and a primal urge kicks in? You crave wide open spaces, fresh air, the chance to connect with the land. Well, maybe it's time to find your own piece of the wild, but searching for property can be a maze. That's where land.com comes in. They got millions of listings across the country, from mountain ranches to hidden fishing holes. Their search tools are like a seasoned guide helping you narrow down what you want. Land.com isn't just about buying and selling. It's about finding a place to hunt, fish, explore, or simply sit by a campfire and listen to the crickets. So head over to land.com today to turn one day into today, because trust me, there's nothing quite like the feeling of standing on your own piece of earth. There's nothing like snook hook sets at dawn or catching a tarpon in the moonlight. Find your next fishing trip made easy on fishingbooker.com and experience the magic of the Sunshine State or any other destination on your fishing bucket list. Book a blue water adventure in search of sailfish or go snapper fishing with the kids. With over 6,000 captains and trips to choose from, planning your next one just got a whole lot easier. Download the Fishing Booker app on the Google Play or App Store or visit them online at fishingbooker.com to book your trip today.
Billy Coleman starts out in the story where the red fern grows as an adult that rescues a hound. And while nursing it back to health, he remembers and tells the story of his journey with a pair of hounds when he was 10. The format in which it's told is somewhat reminiscent of this podcast. I pick a subject and talk about it and tell stories relating to it that I remember from my own experiences. It was also quite possibly the best introduction to hunting and hounds for folks who knew nothing about it. And as I've said before, it also lit the fuse of desire for kids at that time to long for a pup of their own and to chase and treat coons with them, and I was one of them. Two generations later, and that story and book is still inspiring people. Now, I talk to folks all the time that reference it to me. Someone will ask a question about the book or a dog that they've heard me mention on here, and it will get the storytelling and memory machine going. I was thinking the other day about a recent trip with a group of friends and old Waylon. Waylon is my Tree and Walker coon dog, and you've probably seen pictures of him on my Instagram, heard me talk about him on here, but we were coon hunting last year and had three or four hounds out running in the White River bottoms. It was coon hound pandemonium with dogs treeing here and there at a pretty fast pace. Had we been walking, we'd have been in for quite a trek. The coons had the running shoes on that night and were making the dogs earn their keep. Seemed like we had a dog running a good track in every direction, which isn't a bad thing at all since we were all, you know, riding four-wheelers and side-by-sides, but these dogs were leaving the country with these coons. Some were treeing a mile apart, and picking our way to the trees through the river bottoms can take time when you're avoiding sloughs that are too deep to cross and a flat full of cypress needs that will get you hung up. We'd been to several trees, and my Garmin tracker showed Waylon headed back into an area that we'd treated lots of coons in. The display map on the Garmin shows you the track the dog is making from the signal it receives from his tracking collar. You can tell by looking at the picture it's literally painting pretty well if a dog is running a coon or chasing something off game like a deer or a coyote or you know, just about anything else. The dog is following a coon's feeding patterns, and having been a student of coons and my own eating patterns for the last 57 years, I can tell at a glance what's going on. Couple that with knowing how my dog runs a coon and the sounds he makes when he makes them, tells the whole story. The story Waylon was telling right then was that he was chasing a coon and was getting close to the bandito that was making the tracks. With no other dogs close that were running a track that hot, we headed toward the area where Waylon was making such a fuss. The group of us stopped our four-wheelers and side-by-sides when my tracker said we were about 250 yards away from Waylon. According to it, Waylon was moving in our direction, and according to his barks that I could hear, he was getting close to the coon. He was barking more and more excitedly. The tempo was picking up, and you could hear the drive and determination in his voice. 200 yards away now, and he is loud. He locates with a big, long ball, and I say, "Tree Waylon, he's got him, boys. Let's go." We started all the ATVs and drove the short distance down a woods road that led to within a few yards of where my tracker showed his location. Now, normally, you can hear him barking over the engine noise when you get that close, but when we pulled up, it sounded like he was a quarter of a mile away. Well, that's weird. My tracker says he's 50 yards off the road. We all pile out of our machines and walk to where my tracker says he's supposed to be. Now, Waylon is barking is even more intense now, but he sounds like he's getting further and further away. It took us less than 30 seconds to travel the 200 yards from where he was so loud, and now he sounds like he's traveled nearly a half a mile away. Well, my tracker has an option for a compass display that shows the face of a compass and an arrow that shows the direction and the distance from the handheld device to the collar that's being tracked. I followed it from the woods road we were parked on to where I was now standing, and the compass was spinning around on the display indicated that I was standing on top of Waylon, but there was no Waylon to be seen. People were talking, looking around for him, and trying to figure out why he sounded so far away. Now, Waylon had trailed this coon through the bottoms along a big water-filled slough, and I was standing 35 yards from the edge of the slough. I asked everyone to be quiet and listen. According to my device, I should have been standing right on top of him. They got quiet, Waylon kept barking, and I realized my tracker was right. I was standing on top of him. He was under the ground. I told everyone to start looking for a hole, but there was none to be seen. I was in a panic trying to figure out how I was going to get him out of there. Now, if you follow this podcast or my Instagram, you know that that dog is a valued member of this family. To my wife, Alexis, and my daughter, Bailey, he may be more valued than the coon hunter. I've never taken that survey for fear of getting my feelings hurt, so going home without him was a no-go. It just wasn't going to happen. Now, he obviously chased that coon in there and had him bayed, but how in the world did he get in there, and how in the world was I going to get him out? I've seen him bay coons in beaver lodges and in holes dug in the side of a creek and slough banks, but to have him 35 yards away from the water's edge on a flat, barren ground was a new one on everyone there. I'm thinking, how long is it going to take me to dig that dog out with this pocket knife while someone goes up to the farm shop several miles away and gets a shovel? I shined my light back toward the edge of the slough and I saw a ripple in the water. Now, unless there's an overflow with the river pushing out into the woods over its banks, sloughs don't have current, so the water should be still. With us being there with no other dogs and all the commotion going on, there shouldn't be any animal activity making the waves. I ran over to the spot on the edge of the slough and I laid down, looking over the bank. The water was less than a foot below the edge of the bank, and with my headlight, I could see a 6-inch gap between the top of the water and the top of a big hole that ran straight back up in there, about 6 feet. My heart sank. I couldn't hear Waylon any better here than I could when I was standing right on top of him way back up in the woods. It looked like it was just a washout, but hoping against all hope, I started calling him. The barking stopped after a few minutes, and it was stone cold silence. "Here, Waylon, here. Come on, son. Here." There wasn't a sound. There wasn't a ripple in the water. There was nothing but gloom hanging in the air, and I whispered a prayer, "Lord, please let this dog come out of there." I looked around for the millionth time while I laid there on the bank for another entrance into what I thought was going to be Waylon's grave. As I looked across the slough on the other side, I saw another ripple push out across the top of the water. And I followed it back across several others and looked back into that hole up in that bank just in time to see a set of coon dog eyes pop up from under the water. He was swimming to me with nothing but his eyes above the water in a small gap between the water and the top of that tunnel. Now, when he poked his head out from underneath the edge of that bank, I grabbed his collar and pulled him up on the bank beside me. My friend David McDaniel's got a picture of it, and I'll share it so you can see it on my Instagram. Good night, nurse. I was glad to see that dog. I will never forget that feeling of seeing that set of green glowing eyes sticking up above the water like a periscope on a submarine. Now, Waylon, he was just as happy and proud to be there and treated it like it was just another treed coon. And to him, I suppose it was. I turned him loose from that spot after I about petted all the hair off of him, and we hunted on through the night with my friends and all the other dogs. But my mind kept going back to that moment that I thought all hope was lost and that he was lost. I still think about it, and it's a good lesson for me. I'm telling you this story now, and that old coon dog I thought I'd lost forever is laying at my feet sound asleep. He's a living, breathing, and loving example that all is never lost, and with a little faith, you can see the light in the darkest of tunnels. I thank you so much for listening, and I really appreciate the time you give me each week to talk about this country life of mine. It's a good one, and I'm proud to share it with you. Until next week, this is Brent Reeves signing off. Y'all be careful. This festival and concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop before attending your concert. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. I wear mine every time I go out, especially to a concert. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink, and shop new styles. If you can't make it to a store, just visit Tecovas.com, that's Tecovas.com, and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
You ever get that feeling, the walls closing in, the concrete jungle suffocating you? You crave some wide open spaces, the chance to connect with nature, maybe in a spot all your own. Well, head over to land.com. They've got ranches, forests, mountains, streams, you name it. Search by acreage. You can search by location. You can search by the kind of hunting and fishing you're dreaming of. Land.com. It is where the adventure begins.